Item one is an application for subdivision rezoning for land located west of St. Anne's Road and north of PTH 100 under file DASZ 9 of 2011. The applicant is Mr. Eric Fogan.
Is it a combined hearing, one and two?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Oh, it is a different number. Sorry, that was the same number.
Good evening. We're ready to go?
Yes, we are, Mr. Bogan. Please.
Hi, my name is Eric Bogan, Qualico Developments. Firstly, I would like to say that on behalf of Qualico, we're very proud to be here working as the managing developer of the last phase of River Park South. Qualico has been working in River Park South for over 35 years. And I believe that with the community there, the help of the city, and some of our own good work, we've created a neighborhood that is seen as a very desirable place and one of great value. And this last phase represents basically the last chance for people to buy a new home in what's a great neighborhood, their last chance to get in, if you will. They'll be able to enjoy facilities and spaces that the aforementioned have been involved in contributing. Certainly the Dakota Community Club has been one of the great shining reasons that River Park South is popular. Schools are easily available, parks are plentiful, and the trails are throughout as well. This last phase takes advantage of all that, and for that reason, we believe that this is an opportunity, being at the fringe of the development, for the contributions that will accrue to the city for such things as dedication, should be available to make sure that we got it right. This is the last chance to tune up River Park South from a parks and dedication point of view, and we want to make sure that this opportunity is well used. Within the administrative report and the planner's report, we have a couple of things that I'd like to work on. Firstly, I'd like to talk about sidewalks. I know you've all heard before that I don't like to build sidewalks twice, and there are a couple of situations in River Park South where we are being asked to build sidewalks at the same time as the road. Let me give you something here. On Paddington, we'll be building homes with back lane service, and we will put a sidewalk in front of those houses as we have done throughout the length of Paddington from the south end of the last chain of lakes. On the west side of Paddington, there is a trail that continues down from that same chain of lakes to offer easy access to the lakes. We intend to continue that on the west side, and we would ask that the city consider removing the requirement for a sidewalk there. There is no frontage on that area planned, and that sidewalk would be, or that trail rather, would be a means of getting to the park by bicycle and hook up to the existing trail system. Also within the ACG report and the planner's report is a...
Can you just say that again? You're asking to remove
specifically what, Eric?
The requirement to build a sidewalk early, as in, as it was mentioned in detail, I think it's clause 13 of the ACG report, but also to remove the requirement for a sidewalk on the west side of Paddington, because we are planning to build a trail there and extend the existing trail.
Okay.
The other element that I wish to address stems from our original plans for the trails of River Park South and led into some discussions that I'd like to address at this point. In our original work in Southwest River Park South, we named that area the Trails of River Park South, recognizing that there was going to be a fair number of homes south of Aldgate that wouldn't have really quick access to the chain of trails and lakes and parks that exist to the north side of Aldgate. To that end, we planned and installed a couple of trails that offer access via means other than road to those parks and lakes. It was our intention to extend those trails further south to pick up neighbors and homeowners to the lands that we're now talking about. And included in that original submission was accesses to the perimeter right-of-way, which would have allowed us to complete loops so that people could come through the community out onto the perimeter back in. Once we got into the details of this application, we ran into some issues regarding hydro pole locations, berm heights, and also a very important one, feedback from some people in the neighborhood that they didn't really want to have these local trails heading out onto the perimeter being an enticement to their kids. At the same time, the city administration jumped in with both feet, if I can say, really looking forward to a major trail amenity along the perimeter. And it got to the point where it was viewed to be a very large project, certainly much larger than the kinds of dedication monies that were available through this project. To that end, I have suggested a number of amendments to the planner's report, the administrative report, which I have put down on paper and offered to your clerk for distribution. Therein, there are a number of references to a major trail on the perimeter that are to be removed, schedule that describes accesses to the perimeter. And we also have some paragraphs to offer in their stead, including probably most importantly a schedule which shows the accesses to the perimeter which would be available at this time if this series of amendments is accepted. On the third page of the package I've handed you, we show that there is access to the perimeter right-of-way via Paddington Road, largely because there is a major interceptor heading towards the South End treatment plant immediately across the road. And that, of course, will remain as open access to the perimeter. There will be no barriers to that as a result of our trying to build a house or anything like that. Furthermore, the Dakota Street right-of-way, which was an item that I received a number of calls on from residents, is a right-of-way that extends to the perimeter. This Dakota Street right-of-way is not to be an intersection with the perimeter, but for a future flyover, allowing city to extend Dakota over top the perimeter and directly into lands to the south, allowing a one-mile grid of roads on the other side once that area becomes ripe for development. Another area for access to the larger community or beyond, and I think most importantly, something that would allow access to the Seine River trails, is available as a result of some land that Qualico holds immediately north of the joint venture lands, where we now have a sewer and water easement. This particular piece of land lines up very well with the Creek Bend Road junction at St. Anne's Road and would offer through a short trail along a Creek Bend Road, I believe, access to a trailhead on the Seine River trails. And I think this also is another thing where we can offer people of River Park South the chance to get out of their neighborhood and get across at a controlled intersection, or I shouldn't say controlled, I have no idea whether that's controlled or not, but have an opportunity to cross at Creek Bend Road and get onto the Seine River Trail. Beyond these issues, we had, as you know, our phone number on the advertisements on site and in the paper. We received no calls other than issues related to safety, the Dakota intersection, making sure that it wasn't going to be intersecting with the perimeter, and when can I get a home? So feedback from the local neighborhoods would, from our point of view, appear to have been very positive. It would be our intention with the series of amendments I showed you to provide a logical terminus to the trails that we have initiated south of Aldgate and River Park South at two points. One would be to establish a turnaround at the foot of Paddington, and another would be to offer an east-west connection to a trail that runs between Tillstone and Scammell Road east of that. I would propose that that trail be extended south to the east-west road and then offered as a means to loop from the Scammell Trail over to Paddington and again a little link eastward over onto Tillstone to allow new residents the back route into the parklands through there.
Where's Tillstone?
I've been talking pretty quickly. Maybe you want to ask some questions.
Right. Where's Tillstone?
I can also mention that the value of the dedication within these lands, which would be in the normal parameters about 10 acres of land, would produce dedication values in the neighborhood of $1 million to $1.25 million. I can say offhand that if we use the what I call the Nozick formula for IKEA, where cash in lieu of dedication was named at $100,000 an acre, that would produce a value of $1 million. And I think that that could probably be stretched by the city, and I would expect them to do so in this case. So in summary, I've got some proposed amendments in front of you, and I look forward to your questions and feedback on that.
All right, thank you, Mr. Vogan. Any questions?
I know at this time, Councilor, I think I'll wait till I hear the rest of the representations.
My comment is that I'm just trying to establish.
Yeah. Your suggested amendments, how they jive with what is being omitted. And I'm going to ask the administrative perspective on that after I hear other delegations, if there are any.
I wasn't sure I completely. You said the connection to Creek Bend Road. I'm not sure I completely follow what you were saying.
There's in the southern limits of the lands that Qualico developed, just north of these lands in the east end. There's a cul-de-sac called Roehampton, which to the south of it, yeah, has a parcel that's at this point vacant. Okay. It has a sewer and water easement, and that land, as you see, backs onto St. Anne's Road, and thus has the potential for a connection to get over to the Seine River Trail. At this point, you may be aware that there's not that many easy accesses off of St. Anne Road to the Seine River Trail. Certainly at Paddington, I believe, there's a project in the way, and I don't know that it's a tremendously porous access there, but we'd be ready to offer that to so that that amenity could be enjoyed by more.
Okay. All right. Well, Obviously, we'll hear other delegations, and you'll be invited back to respond in due course.
Thank you.
We'll continue to read through people who are registered in support, and then in opposition, and then for information. Mark Coho, registered in support. Obviously, just to reiterate to folks, you need not come down necessarily and speak, but you're welcome to if you like.
Yeah, and so I guess some of the concerns I have are mainly with the connections with the trail to the west. So some of these amendments I'm very concerned with. Specifically, I think, you know, the importance of having that perimeter access trail is really that you're allowing that connection through. So basically what the city report is showing us is asking for sort of to keep connections within 400 meters. That's a really important principle that I think we need to be really encouraging the city to continue in their developments. And I think one of the big important issues for connections through to the west, without a connection through to the west, you're really forcing people to go through Berland, which is a divided roadway. It's a fairly heavy traffic area. And I think the importance of that connection there is that right now the City of Winnipeg has a tender out looking into a feasibility study for a pedestrian and bike bridge across to the University of Manitoba that would be through Henthlaft Park. So it's very simple. If we can get that perimeter connection through to the west, and we want to really connect to Redview Road in that general area, either to create a parkway along the river through towards hopefully what we for sure would love to see that bridge to the U of M. I think with the Bomber Stadium coming in, it's something that we can really really attract users, and we've done some fine trail work. And it's also the north-south connections, making sure that we are connecting through to that South St. Fatel Trail, which connects, that's pretty important, east-west connection, and to make sure we're also connecting to that Bois d'Esprit Park, which is one of the biggest natural park areas in the city. Yeah, it's pretty much what I'd say. You know, I think it's important that we continue the progress we've been making in this city. You know, we see the price of gas going up. I think it's something that the city can really look proudly back on, that we have a sort of a solution and something that we can point to as proactively working to make living a little more affordable in this city. So that's my comments for now.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Coho?
Specifically, what connections are you referencing? Sure. Along the north of the perimeter?
It's basically sort of to the west end. It's basically Norman Park is sort of along the river. It's parallel to Redview. And Henthlaft Park is sort of right to the north and on the map there, it's sort of that green dashed line. It makes a connection from the South St. Fatel Trail, and that is essentially where the potential bridge, like pedestrian bridge through to the U of M would go. So it's really critical that connection is there, that people have this ability to sort of grow, you know, to move through there, that if we as development goes forward, that people are able to get close to, you know, the university is obviously a pretty major employer, along with a lot of the different areas through there. So it's important that connection is made. It's going to be a critical hub for the city in active transportation as it connects through with the Southwest Rapid Transit as well once you're across the river. So it's a really critical area of the city to make sure that we're connecting.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just for clarification, not you, Mr. Coho, sorry. People might be a bit confused by the support, not support. I guess what's happening here is the the applicant is coming forward to vary the, I guess, the original report of the City of Winnipeg. So I think we can decipher on a person-by-person basis what they're supporting. I think Mr. Coho was supporting the original plan, not necessarily the amendments. I think that's what we're going to be stick-hammering through throughout the course of this application. So, Mr. Vogan, you'll pay attention to that reality. Okay. Bob Hinkleman, listed in support. Okay, thank you. Mike Armstrong, listed in support. Support. Greg Davey, listed in support. Lynn Jones, listed in support. Yes. Those are the folks that I have listed in support. And, my previous differentiation, I think, held on that. That was a different type of support than Mr. Coho's support, I think, if I could be so bold. We have a couple people listed for information now that we'll move to. First is Bonnie Siemens of 204 Halfield Bay. Ms. Siemens, in attendance? Do you wish to speak? No? Thank you. Robert Bisson of 27 Halfield Bay. You're good? Thank you. Robert Fudge of 14 Ralston Crescent. You're okay? Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Fudge. Marvin Namak, I'm sorry, I can't read your writing. What's that? Namak? Oh, sorry. Okay. 46 Hallfield Bay. Thank you very much. Sorry about that. Dean Favoni. There's Dino. Yeah, you have to put your comments on the record. We record everything you say, Dean. While Mr. Favoni is coming down, I noticed Linda Bisson is also here from, I believe, same address. You okay? Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Favoni. You have to say your name and address at the microphone. Okay, and you're talking about the whole development, housing, everything?
Correct.
Yeah.
When things would begin, which end or which phase would be built first, and
yep.
Which streets that currently exist would be used for access for development, or if the service road immediately north of the river, a viable option.
Okay. You're concerned about construction traffic in the neighborhood?
Correct.
Okay.
Immediately north of the perimeter highway that could be used for access to the development from four construction vehicles. And that would avoid having to use existing roads with already have families and children on it and would limit the traffic along those roads already.
I think we try and do that. Though. The language we use is that to the satisfaction of the Director of Public Works, because the service road would probably only be accessible at some points, so they're not built to hold, like, cement trucks, for example. So
correct.
There would be some issues. So there's language that they use in the report that says access to be approved by the Director of Public Works, I believe. There's also cleanup clauses and things like that. So if there are issues, we have a system in place that we can go and
right. Just my concern is just which roads would be used as a primary access for all the major vehicles that are going to be adding to the traffic in the neighborhood.
I guess if they don't come down the service road. If it's not feasible to come down the service road, you'd prefer they come down Dakota or whatever the major artery is, not using the smaller roads.
Correct. Like I live on Hallfield Bay. That road would be, according to the proposal, would be extended. Maybe it makes sense to come down that street and continue the housing, but there is an access road to the south. There's a berm, I believe, running just north of that access road, and if it might be easier to put some access through the berm into the development, and then so we have some construction going on next to us, but it doesn't happen, doesn't impede the flow of traffic down our current right. street.
We'll take it up with Mr. Vogan. I understand what you're saying, and I agree with it in principle. I don't know if it's totally doable, but we'll certainly take
right.
it up.
Right, I'm just saying that road exists now, and there will be, the map that I looked at anyway, the homes will be going in just north of that service road, and the service road right now is primarily, from what I can see, is used by people who drive down that street with their dogs.
Walking their dogs, yeah. You see them off the side of the
river. It's largely unused, and it certainly wouldn't impede or it wouldn't cause any concern to people in the neighborhood in terms of and a place where children are, you know, out biking or playing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fawner.
Thanks.
We'll ask the applicant to return. Okay, while we're asking the applicant to return, is there anybody else who has not had their name called in this matter who wishes to speak? Seeing none. Mr. Vogan. Did you have a chance to hear the concerns as raised?
I did, yes. firstly, regarding the opportunity at the perimeter. You know, it's been pointed out to me that the perimeter, like Fermor or Bishop Grandin, has an opportunity here for a future trail. And certainly the service road, which the neighbor in Hallfield spoke of, could be an early step towards establishing that link between St. Anne's and St. Mary's. We view the perimeter trail itself as the idea of the perimeter trail itself as a way around River Park South rather than an amenity to River Park South. But Our proposal as amended here offers accesses to this perimeter right of way, and in no way forecloses the opportunity of this service road immediately north of the highway itself being used as an active transportation corridor. Our internal trails that we have established in River Park South, there's an east-west link along a hydro right of way north of Ward that we first paved in about 1987, and that link now extends between St. Anne's and St. Mary's. Paving of the trails that we did south of Burland, between there and Aldgate, was accomplished over a number of years. It basically gets from the major collector roads of Burland over to the major collector road of Aldgate in the east. All of the major collector roads in River Park South have sidewalks on both sides. We believe that there's a good means of getting around in River Park South using these trails, quiet residential streets, and in pedestrian situations, certainly the sidewalks that are on both sides of each collector road in River Park South. So moving on to the issues that our neighbor from Hallfield asked about, it's our intention to start construction as soon as possible. We hope to get pipes and some road into the ground this fall, south of Elsie Road at the west end of River Park South. That will be a phase that would involve about 100 and some lots, but in its fullness would be about 150 lots. And that'll be our initial phase.
Just for clarification, Elsie Road is towards the St. Mary's end.
Correct, yeah. Yes.
So starting at St. Mary's
end. Yeah. Yes, we also recognize that as a result of work we had done over the years, there's an area of larger lots and larger homes at the foot of Dakota, Hall Field, Tillstone, Kings Clear, Ralston, roads in that area. We had in the streets to the north, Clerkenwell, et cetera. Those were streets on which we offered larger lots and custom home building opportunities over the late 80s and early 90s. And we would continue to offer that area as a place for builders that need a little more elbow room than the production builders that people in River Park South are familiar with. So what I'm saying there is we might have a situation where we would have a custom phase opening up. At the same time, we might be offering lots in the 42 to 44 foot zone, which I would call the more traditional mid-sized market in River Park South, at another place. The idea of using the service road as a construction route is something we'll definitely look into. This is kind of like making sure you don't paint yourself into a corner in the room as you finish the area, and we'll look for how feasible that is. We'll see if we can beef that up and use it, especially for the heavy construction workers. The size of the machines that go in and out during that phase are important, as well as the excavators and concrete trucks for the early stages of house building. We will make ourselves available to hear from the residents on how the many trades involved in house building are adhering to our recommended routes. And we will establish such guidelines and discipline as we can administer to ensure that it's done as well as possible. I believe I've answered the questions.
I think you have.
I think one thing I think also was asked: how long do you think this will take? We would see this area developing, and what I would guess at this point, given current rates of demand, would happen somewhere over the next 7 to 10 years.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Vogel?
No, I don't. I think, I mean, the questions and comments have been pretty straightforward. I think we're going to have a conversation with the administration about dedication and trails and what we're doing there. But
what I have put before you is a clause which recognizes that there are possibilities there, and the idea that we would present a plan for the consideration of the community committee as to possible directions for the dedication value that's available here.
Could I get comments from administration on some of the amendments brought forward?
The first one is that it's there are some aspects of this plan submitted that aren't consistent with the charter requirements for posting. There's a couple PR pieces that are taken out, and at minimum would have to come back in, because otherwise we'd be intensifying the zoning from PR to R1. So at minimum, we've identified the ones that we see, so those would have to be addressed.
Sorry, just the process for addressing those would be a reposting?
If to proceed as this, I'd say yes, it would be a reposting to accurately portray the changes. However, there was a posting that went out. So if it's consistent with the original posting, then, or with moderate changes, to the where the PR land would go, either east or west or something along those lines, then that's usually okay within the 10% kind of variation. But to take it out and not replace it would not be consistent.
Take it out and not replace it?
Yeah, at least in the same general area.
But isn't the whole idea of dedication to take, for the purposes of PR, to take cash in lieu?
Sorry, just for sheer posting requirements, though, it's just kind of a step back before thinking about that part. It's the consistency with the original posting. I wouldn't suggest that they are large areas. It's just simply it's not consistent.
If we can perhaps, if I could speak to...
I'm willing to let that go forward and see if there's a legal argument come up, because I don't think there will be. I don't understand that, because I think at the end of the day, if we agree that, there's no way that this dedication and putting a trail there would be consistent with, sort of the amount of money that we're talking about here for land dedication, and there are alternatives being proposed, I'm comfortable with that. I don't think anybody would argue that.
I understand. It's kind of two separate issues, almost, okay. in one. So
you're saying that if there was a redesignation of proposed trail space...
PR okay. Zoned land.
Yeah, PR zoned land.
Parks and recreation zoned land. We can always bring forward amendments to downzone. We can't upzone.
So is that a planned Winnipeg amendment?
It's a charter requirement to be consistent.
Is it like a two-thirds of council thing?
It's just we have to meet that requirement.
Okay. All right.
I would offer the comment that we have opened sidewalk linkages between bays in several areas of town, including River Park South, where the park or the linkage itself is not considered PR1, but is considered right of way. It's not a zoned piece of land, and I think that what we see here could probably interpret that.
You're fashion. Talking about going the other way, aren't you? What you're talking about, Mr. Vogan, is you're talking about taking sort of maybe some otherwise residential land in this plan and making it PR, but you're talking about taking PR land and making it into
R1.
So I think you're having different sides of the same coin. It's
just simply, going by what I see. Okay. It's simply there's a couple places where there was in the original posting what was posted into the public, what was circulated in the advertisement in the daily newspapers was one thing showing PR connections, and now they're removed, but they're not replaced in close proximity to where they originally were.
Yeah, I think a concrete example would be helpful. For example, in the original submission, we showed a sidewalk down to the perimeter from Twickenham, or from a street south of Twickenham, east of Dakota.
Yep.
Similarly, in our experience, a sidewalk connection like that has been opened as a right-of-way. Very similar on a Winter Haven Bay just north of this connection, there's a sidewalk that enters into the park from there, and it is in fact just opened as a right-of-way. So it's been my experience that a lot of sidewalk connections are opened as right-of-way rather than PR.
And there's LC Road. There's one there as well.
Yes, that would be another situation.
Posted as PR.
I was not aware of that. If that sidewalk connection was posted PR, I would have made comment, I'm sure.
So is this land that's looks like it was formerly designated PR1 for the trail, the ostensible trail, is that land now to be developed? It doesn't look like it.
I should offer a piece of clarification there. There is a strip of PR1 along the entire south perimeter,
yeah,
which we have given up as public reserve because we will be moving the property line of the privately held lands north in the neighborhood of 7 or 9 meters, so, and that would be basically the public side of the berm.
So what land are we talking about?
It would still be PR. Right?
It would still be PR, yes.
The little connection?
I'm so sorry about that.
That's a consistency.
Yes. That land will remain PR, right.
But we're not adding any, we're not taking away any connections, are we?
No.
Yes. In the proposed amendment, yes.
Oh, okay.
So in the proposed amendment, what would be removed are those two small connections coming through to the strip that's along 101.
Yeah, the area shown as PR1 along the south limit would remain as such, as the public side of a berm.
It's not even in there as PR land. That shows up as R1 on my posting document.
Well, it kind of depends on this one. For example, there is a connection that looks like it's going from, Twickenham, for example. Mm-hmm. There was an extension back south from Twickenham out to the would-be trail. I guess
you got a large scale look at this.
I guess that technically is what you're talking about, probably,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
Right here. Right.
Those are designated as PR right
now. That piece right there is what you're talking about.
There's a couple. They're all mine.
That's for Rob to say. My charter.
so I circled.
Yeah, that's there. Twickenham, yeah.
Right. There, this one connects longer.
What is it zoned now?
RR5.
So it's already zoned.
Here's
RR5.
And then there's a connection right here that was shown. Okay. So that's what we're talking about. I'm not saying it's a...
Yeah. Okay. If that's the, well, I mean, you have to do, you have to comply with the rules. I respect that completely.
So does that mean that we can't proceed tonight?
You can, at minimum, go back to the original posting.
Okay. Well, if we're saying that doesn't make sense, because financially it doesn't make sense, and the big picture of what we want to see happen with dedication dollars out here.
But there would have to be some kind of connection that's still maintained. I mean, it could alter slightly, but it was still... advertises PR.
Councillor, if I may. We've had conversations with the applicant along the way. The PR lands that are really the back half of the sound attenuation barrier will not be counted for land dedication. They appear as public reserve in the proposed amendment, but does not affect the land dedication. The only component that's really is those narrow little strips going through at those two locations. If those are kept as PR, the application simply proceeds forward. We concur, I guess, with the applicant that we feel they've done a really strong job in developing their park and green space within the community. They may, in fact, be slightly over-dedicated at the current time, but as we said, dealing with this development, and as Qualico's pointed out, dealing with this development at the current time with a 10-acre land dedication, that's really not coming into play with this proposal at the current time. That would be right. Still cash in lieu. Contribution.
Okay, so our options here are to lay this matter over so you can go out and repost it with those little nibs of land as R1 land, or we can carry it forward as it is, and then they have to apply to rezone those pieces of land from PR1 to R1, R1M or R1S or whatever it would be.
Yeah, that wouldn't be consistent with what was originally. We have to be consistent with what was originally posted.
Okay, here's what we're asking.
Well, is there a way of dealing with this today? Do we reckon, or I mean, going forward with this?
How about if we do not permit the rezoning of the land from RR5 on those little strips to PR1? If we don't do that, then somebody would have to go out and post it for rezoning as R1 land. Because that's the application that's in front of us. Somebody is making the request of us to rezone to R1, to rezone to PR. So if we have to conform with that in the application, but we generally agree with the intent that Mr. Vogan is making here. And I don't think anybody has a huge problem with that. We can see the safety issues of sending children out onto the perimeter highway. We see the rest of the trail system.
I think what we would need to do is proceed with what's the original or consistent with the original posting. If in a future phase that it's desired to take the PR out, then you take the PR out.
Why don't I just take the PR out right now? I don't have to approve that piece.
But it's just simply been...
One requires a two-thirds vote of council. One just requires a 50% vote of council. I know what this committee, I think, I get a sense of where this committee wants to go. I'm trying to get done what all of us here, and nobody seemed to have any great objection to.
So if we take out the PR and reverts back to the zoning now, which is?
RR5.
Okay, so we have RR5 on little strips of land with everything else residential. And.
Although not buildable, technically.
But he's going to have to make an application to rezone it anyway.
So for those four lots that are affected, there would have to be a separate application at some point. Is that pretty much where we would land?
Yeah, exactly. A public hearing, like it would bring it to R1 from PR.
Yeah. So we're talking about those couple few extensions that would have to be. Oh, that is a pain.
Where were we aware of this? At what point in time? Have you been made aware of this before?
Well, certainly with the 9-meter trail we had shown on Scammell, that was originally to be PR, but I'd always understood sidewalk links to be just open road.
transportation. We had comment back from a number of groups who, and it was expressed by one of the speakers, about remaining consistent to a 500-meter connectivity through to the service road that's in place. The removal of these two nuts, we moved to more of a 750 to 1,000-meter connection through to that end. Sorry?
Connection to the perimeter highway?
Yes. So that was the only...
But we don't have
really
a trail
the
along the perimeter highway.
Yeah.
Is there a service road back there?
There's a service road back there.
So you mean connection to the service road?
Correct.
Not back to the
perimeter highway.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that argument holding water if you're going in towards the rest of the development, where the lakes and the parks and the houses and the schools and everything are. To go to the perimeter highway, it makes that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Well, there's a service road between
the backs of these houses and the perimeter highway, right?
And we said long-term, because we did look at some connectivity with active transportation, and functionally it didn't work adjacent to the berm. Long-term, the service road and the provincial highways has indicated they're willing to be collaborative should active transportation at a future date wish to be included along it. We've just left it there.
Well, Mr. Vogt, we understand you don't want to have to build a trail along the perimeter highway. Completely understand.
But I'm also concerned about leaving a piece of land going out to the perimeter with no specific plan attached to it.
To the service road?
Yeah, like having an area like in one course there is nothing but the service road and the perimeter as is, the access out there might be seen as a waste.
Okay,
so what we're proposing is the accesses that are available through Dakota, Paddington, and then the piece of land we have off of St. Anne's.
At the end of the day, is Dakota going to be connected to the service road?
Not
in this development.
No.
We've been asked to close that service road at both east and west ends.
Yeah. And Dakota, if it ever is extended through, would be as a flyover. If ever.
Oh, that'd be a tough meeting. I can tell you, my friends.
That's a requirement meeting for it. Right away, you can put a
plug in there. Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So in the long term, you're going to be able to access, if the service road or a potential trail from Dakota or Paddington.
Correct.
Does the admin concur in that?
Yes, and there's also a proposed connection, bike path in between those two. And as Mr. Vogan indicated, there's a potential other connection at the east end.
Okay.
Where there's an existing easement.
Okay, so the access will be guaranteed one way or the other going forward.
Correct. It's just the number of connection points, and that seems to be
right.
Causing the concern with how it was advertised versus the current proposed amendment.
Okay. Well, okay, so that, we're at a Mexican standoff, basically, on what we do with the...
There's two connections that come into play. They're two little nibs of land.
Yeah.
I think if we want to move ahead and get this development rolling this year, that we have to move ahead with what's been posted, and these two pieces of land will have to be dealt with at a future date.
Looks like we have no alternative. Any alternatives?
Well, what you're telling me is that sidewalk connection at the foot of Elsie is zoned PR.
Yeah.
The sidewalk connection.
Elsie, and then there's another one
at the easterly end. There's another one.
Yeah. Near Twickenham Circle.
Yeah.
That's Twickenham. I can't read.
It's just.
Yeah. Well, you can see this. See that sidewalk connection there. It's basically a new move on me that these things are zoned PR. I always thought they were right of way. That's all I'm saying. But the sidewalk connections at Elsie would be, in my mind, similar to what we did at Winter Haven.
So
but you're right. In order to keep on moving, I would, I'd like to be back here and cure that issue as a distinct three-lot issue, if you will, or two-lot issue.
In these amendments that you brought forward, Mr. Vogel, is there anything in here that would change the zoning of those two pieces of land from PR1? The map?
Yeah, we have we proposed a schedule in lieu of their Schedule B, which which shows several accesses.
So we'd have to show those. We would have to show those two accesses as PR1 on your schedule.
Or we could revert to the original Schedule A with the intent of seeking permissions at subsequent hearings.
And then we don't need any of the rest of these amendments either?
We would need all the rest of the amendments without the, with I guess, saying only that the revised Schedule A be like the original Schedule A.
Okay. Is it?
Do you have a copy of Schedule A printed?
I just want to make sure, like the line for the outside line of the area is the same on both schedules, regardless of where the PR lands are.
Which
schedule? A. Okay. This outside line is the same on this as it is on A?
The outside, yeah. The outside doesn't have dimensions. It's as long as it shows a consistent linear path, and we see that. That's fine.
Okay. So this public reserve is in this schedule, same as it is in yours.
That's right.
Okay.
This is the original application, and this is what we're showing. PR.
Right.
PR, even though it points to this arrow, it's
I get that.
Here's another, Paddington's okay. This is, they're proposing an amendment. It doesn't actually show the length connection to here, but it's added this, which they can add, but this, some kind of vertical connection, is not represented anymore. So that's the other piece.
So is that, well, what's the zoning of this?
PR.
Okay, where is that on here?
It would be consistent, because the scale of the diagram is small.
Okay, look at this. See how it says public reserve here?
Yeah.
That would be consistent with that.
That part, yeah. But then you can see right here.
Look at this one, Justin. Right here, here's where it is, right here.
No, he's not talking about that.
And then there's,
he's talking about this right here.
No, it's connected right here.
And there's that one, too. That's the third, yeah.
Okay, I understand that one's there. But right here, this you could argue that there's public reserve here.
No, I completely agree. It's the north-south aspect of that.
Right, but I don't see PR there.
That's right, but this is what was posted.
I don't see PR there.
It says public reserve.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to do the amendments with the original schedule, and then we will sort out the nuts and bolts after.
We have the package of amendments I proposed there do make specific mention of closing accesses at LC, Twickenham, and turning the access, modifying the access to the perimeter of the trail between Scammell and Tillstone.
Yeah, but that I don't think that affects the zoning, Eric. I think that could be right-of-way our PR zoning. The issue of the zoning we will have to address at a subsequent meeting. If we're going to get this development moving, subsequent to this meeting.
There are a number of very burdensome requirements within the package of amendments regarding building a trail outside the planned area that I want to make sure we've eliminated. Therefore, the issue of the rights of way down to the perimeter are certainly amendable, but the removal of the other requirements within the perimeter right of way for trails and whatnot are what I'm concerned about.
But they are contained on this
page that you've given us. Why don't we return back to Councillor Vandell's original discussion with administration in hopes that maybe we'll proceed a little more quickly than the last one, but should we just go down the list and make sure and get administration's comments, I suppose? Is that where you're going, Dan? Is that what you want to do? So we have your concerns on the one item. Any other, aside from philosophical pejorative concerns. Anything else you wish to bring to the committee's attention? The last one was appreciated. Seriously, it was. No? Councillor Swandell, you've got an eye for detail for this stuff.
Well, I mean, this has become such a dog's breakfast, I don't know what anything says anymore. I just want to go through.
Well, I think we all understand the intent and the general intent, and I'll put that on the record right now. The general intent is the developer wishes to avoid the responsibility of having to build the trail on the south end of the on the south side of the development. In exchange for that, I thought I heard him say that he was willing to continue to contribute to the park and amenity suite of the area. His number suggested was in a dedication amount of $100,000 an acre. I think the 10-acre amount was the amount that we heard. Am I going along in pretty close proximity to what was said? Okay. So without boring too deep into the detail here, is there anything, Mr. Vogan, I'll ask you first, anything in this detail that you've submitted that contravenes the sort of the general spirit and intent of what I've just stated?
Well, I guess I'm still looking to try and get as far as we can here, right?
Okay.
If you look at the revisions I've presented,
yes,
there's reference under the planner's report's revisions that number three, the remnant parkland, references to schedules A and B should read reference schedule A. That I'm comfortable with because that refers to the original schedule A. Under the ACG revisions, item number one, clause six, we ask that clause six and seven be replaced with a say that we will revise the advertised plan by removing the connections south of Elsie between Scammell-Tillstone and off Twickenham. Now, to remove that clause, all we need to do is find out what impact removing schedules or clauses six and seven would have in their original form.
That's exactly what we've discussed in the last 25 minutes. So we've talked about that.
So we can remove those clauses. It doesn't mean that it affects the zoning, right? Am I correct in that statement? We can still move forward with the zoning and clean up the zoning piece relative to the way it was posted, because the clauses are just about using them as a right-of-way. Which I'd have to agree with Mr. Vogan. I don't understand why, if they were a right-of-way, they would have to be also a designation as PR zoning.
You're just happy with what you're advising as being the recommended plan moving forward. So that will be Schedule A under this proposal, which is what was originally advertised. We recommend in our report Schedule B.
Okay, but I'm in the ACG right now.
No, I understand.
Like, I don't want to hear about Schedule B. I just want to make sure that technically we're not doing something that doesn't get us to our desired outcome here, which is to get rid of these accesses out, with the exception of the couple that have been mentioned, not to have to build this east-west trail that's worth way more than the value of the land dedication. That's where I'm driving towards. So, I mean, if I take out Clause 6, it really is just speaking about the pass and the points of access. It's not talking about the zoning, right? So I haven't violated what was posted.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Clause 7, the applicant providing either a wider PR parcel or a flared area to ensure adequate visibility at the intersections of the easternmost and westernmost local pathways to this, doesn't affect the zoning, right?
That's right.
Okay. So I haven't violated anything from what was posted. Are we in agreement? Yes?
Yes. Yeah.
Just say yes, yeah. And no. I
yeah.
Say
That's correct.
I just want to be able to go back and rehash this if we have to, but I don't think there's an issue here.
I believe removing clauses 6 and 7 without any new clause cleans it up.
Right. No. We'll deal with a new clause after because we have to come back and deal with the zoning of these parcels of land anyway.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And referees.
Just trying to sequence this so we can get to the outcome and at least get these guys in the ground this year rather than missing a complete construction season when now's the time to be going.
No, I understand. I'm just catching up and making sure I'm reading this right.
Okay, so in the 7 development agreement sections, clause 11, concurrent construction of sidewalks with the pavement they share, we would ask that this clause be revised to allow for a trail to be conducted on the west side of Paddington in lieu of a sidewalk, and the construction of the sidewalk on the east side be delayed until house construction is complete. It has nothing to do with the zoning. We're okay with that. Mm. Removal clauses 29 to 23 inclusive. Oh, yeah, this is the one to get. Okay, 29 to 33, pardon me, if the developers on the public reserve at least 8% of the land contained within the plan are impaired, share the cost of services and streets and planning taken on all the cars as determined the satisfaction of the right public reserve. Public reserve configuration shall be almost entirely be in the boundary network. The public reserve network shall be almost entirely included. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. And then that clause 30 that says, if, as expected, developers are unable to dedicate the full 8% of the land, the developer shall dedicate the amount of land satisfactory to the director of public works and property. Calculating the value of the difference.
So can I get an administrative comment? And I think you already have. By removing clauses 29 to 33, what is the net effect of that?
The net effect to Qualico is that previous credit will not be given, and that's consistent with what's being discussed here today, that we're dealing with land dedication as it relates to this development parcel, and also the removal of the requirement to build an active transportation, as has proven problematic on the berm due to the physical limitations of it.
Then we would be able to take either land or cash to do other amenities in River Park South that would finish up the community, as Mr. Vogan suggested.
Correct.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that.
How does the area councillor feel?
I am the area councillor.
Oh, is your ward?
It's both.
This is the boundary right here.
Okay.
That side's Gord's. That side's me.
Okay. Next.
Okay. I'm ready to make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Clause 30. We've reviewed Clause 30, and that Clause 30 is in keeping with the spirit and intent of my earlier comments, the 8% amount. It's hard for...
Well, with that saying, Gord, if I'm reading it correctly, I'm just going to paraphrase it. It's saying that value be set aside. Some of it may be used to build a bit of trail here and there. Some of it may be used to do something else.
Yeah, pursuant to a plan, like our Clause 29 recommends that we bring it to the Community Committee as a plan.
Yeah.
For your approval.
It's the value of the dedication, Gord.
Evaluation amount.
I think the number that Mr. Vogan suggested of 10 acres and a value of somewhere between $1 million and $1.2 million would be appropriate for this development. I don't hear any argument on that, and that's consistent with what I've seen before.
Ongoing discussion with the applicant too. So that's a reasonable range, yes.
Okay, I will move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All right.
I will move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.